Hey, baby.
Hey.
Naomi and Andy here with a quick Q/request.
Yes. So, okay, Acast is doing these audience surveys, okay? We put the link in the show notes. The link is going to be in the link tree on our Instagram and everything like that. Here's the thing, Naomi. You know, we're already pretty choosy about the ads that we allow on the show. No weapons manufacturers.
Raytheon, get out of here.
Yeah. Screw off, Raytheon. But we want to make sure that the ads are kind of tailored to y'all.
Right.
Okay? Right? Say you want to hear ads for A Different World DVD box sets.
We need to know that.
We need
can
to
go
know
out
that.
To them. We can get the word out. But we only can get the word out if you give us the word. So you got to fill out the survey. It is quick, quick, quick. And it just lets us know if the ads you're hearing are the right ads for you.
Yeah.
So get on over to the show notes where that link is or the Couples Therapy link tree and fill out that quick survey so we can pass the word on to Acast.
All right. Roll it.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Open your hearts, loosen your butts. It's time for Couples Therapy.
Yeah, this podcast is Andy and Naomi's, where they can both laugh and hang with all their homies, talking excellent vacationing with brunches and cuddling, to messy situationships and conscious and coupling, from Netflix hookups to single them with some Hulu, text, sex, regrets, or feeling on your new jubu. They gon' talk about it, yeah, you are invited, needing therapy, I guarantee, baby, we got it.
It's Couples Therapy, Couples Therapy.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Couples Therapy. I am Naomi.
And I am Andy.
And we're a real-life couple.
A real-life couple of comedians.
And on Couples Therapy,
in quarantine,
we answer a couple of questions from a couple of different listeners.
Hell yes.
I'm feeling funky. That's why I said the intro like that, Andy.
We're recording this. We're sitting on our couch. I just made myself a smoothie.
A fresh smoothie.
We just finished the Twitch show a little while ago. By the way, Twitch, every Wednesday, 2 p.m. PST, we bring an hour of fun to help you crawl out of your depresso hole.
Or also, sometimes I'm unhinged, and I will not hide that. And that today was one of those days where I really came to Twitch fully in a pajama pant and said, you know what? This is my best today.
That's why when you started, Naomi, you had this like smile, not a Joker smile on your face, but I was just like, oh, is she trying to like bring the energy to this intro?
Yes, exactly.
She tried to get into character.
Exactly.
By smiling.
Yep. I was like, okay, how do you make it seem like you have hope? How do you make it seem like you have energy? And you just got to smile. And that's what I did. And I think it really did help me. Besides, it's like, I love our listeners,
you know,
LOL, love our listeners, and just want them to hear the best of me, the best of us. And I do feel like this episode is one of those best. This
Hell
is a real
yes.
fucking fun episode. This felt really good in the hearts. Y'all, today we are talking to writer, actor, comedian Rhea Butcher. You know them from so many things like their show Take My Wife, which they co-created, their baseball podcast Three Swings, and most importantly, okay, they have a brand new stand-up album out called Pull Yourself Up by Your Bootleg, live in Denver. Honestly, for Rhea to be giving us content in Quar, to be coming out with an album in Quar is a gift.
To be giving us quality content.
Quality.
This is not just content. In fact,
Yeah. You're right.
I'm going to say, like, you put up some shit on your Instagram.
Okay. Wow, way to shout me out. way to be pointed towards me and trigger me, your lover.
I didn't mean it like that.
No, I'm kidding. But yes.
But you put it, you just throw up some, like a picture of whatever. Like that's content.
Right.
That's content. This is an album, Naomi.
Quality comedy.
Quality comedy.
You can get this album everywhere you get your albums. And like, so funny, so exciting.
I mean, we've been fans of Ria's for...
Fans and friends. And this was like a really just like a nice open combo. I feel like that's how, like whenever I see Ria, I feel like we always like get into the real. Yeah. You know, like back in the before time, just running into each other at a show, it would just be like, where's your soul? And we would just have a conversation. Sometimes they'd give me a ride home. And it was like, you a real one, RB. I call them RB from the beginning. and so... Yeah. You know,
I was a fan. Rhea is one of those people where I was a fan of theirs before we moved out to Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. So it's one of those things where I'm just like, oh, you're talking to me as if I'm a peer. I get nervous.
Yeah. But RB puts their pants on one leg at a time.
Not only does RB put their pant legs on one at a time. But they are kind and generous about putting on their pant legs.
Generous about putting on their pant legs. Okay, oh, we cray cray a day.
We are unhinged. Hey, how were your Valentine's days?
Was anything romantic? Did anyone give you a surprise Jubu T-shirt?
Did anyone That's get what pregnant?
Did anyone get
pregnant? We want to know.
Email us at couplestherapypod@gmail.com if you got pregnant on Valentine's Day. We need to know. We deserve to know.
We are unhinged.
Truly, which is why I really think that we should probably get to the episode. But before we do, just a reminder, you guys, Saturday, March 13th, 6 p.m. PST. That's California time. That's West Coast time. We will be doing a couples therapy quarantine party. Celebrating is the wrong word. Honoring. 1 year in isolation. Yeah. 1 year in pandemic.
Yes.
1 year surviving.
Yes.
And if you want to come to that, tickets are $5. You can go to dynastytypewriter.com. Venue here in LA who's been putting on online shows, and it will be wonderful. We'll have some guests. We want to answer some of your relationship cues. It'll just be a fun hour, honey, where we just support each other for getting through one of the toughest years in the world. In life. So
yeah, the couples therapy quarantine party : 1 year in isolation.
You love saying colon.
I love saying colon.
You love to say colon.
That's why I became a proctologist.
Oh Lord, my little Lord. Johnny Carson baby.
Ed.
Good. I think it might be time to get into RB.
Yeah it is.
All right, you guys, we got a beautiful episode. Open your hearts for this one.
Roll it.
That had a little bit of an umpire vibe.
That's what I'm
saying. Oh, yeah. Ready to go. A real announcer vibe.
Yeah. A real announcer vibe.
A real Brockmire.
Brock.
That's right.
Real Vin Scully?
Yep. Great job, Andy. You're doing it.
I got three sports references. I got three references for every sport.
Oh, right. That's good. Yeah, that's for everyone.
It's from my days of doing improv. You had to know like a
Brockmire, Vin Scully, and then you'll just have to stick around for the third one.
Brockmire, you know that very like fantastic, but sparsely watched IFC show about a baseball announcer that everyone who likes sports should get.
Absolutely, I loved it. I don't know if she's a friend of the pod, but she's a friend of me and my pod. But Tawny Newsome was on that season of that show, so.
I know.
Friend,
hell yeah.
Friend of the pod, friend of the us.
Friend Life. Of Marco Polo. RB, are you with Marco Polo?
Dude, I was. I was on it hardcore, and then I just stopped. I don't know why.
Yeah. I'm in.
But
I'm in deep.
I'd be happy to get in, you know?
I'm like in deep. It's funny because like I didn't even know it existed until quarantine. And then the very hilarious David Crabb who was like, are you a Marco Polo? And I was like, I'm going to do it. Now... You can't stop me, okay? I'm going to tell you any thought I've had. Like, there's something about just like, oh, I ate too much today. What you doing? And then I just leave. Like, it's not.
Yeah, it's like personalized TikToks, you know? It's like very, very quick. Which I will say, I've only recently discovered the healing power of TikTok. I don't know.
Okay, talk to me about how it's healing you. Tell me.
Well, first my friend was sending me, like, she was like, it's made for me. And I was like, yes, it is. But it was so pure, you know, her, like, she's like, she knows, but she was also like, ah, it's so great. and she just loves life on there. And so she was sending me all these TikToks. And so that was getting me warmed up because it was a very personal experience of like watching my friend's favorites. Right. And so then I was like, okay, cool. This is not like only for the kids or whatever. It's for everybody. And then Brian Jordan Alvarez posted a series of duets on his stories, who also Brian Jordan Alvarez is hilarious in his own right. But just seeing these duets on Hearts Alone, somebody singing the song by Heart Alone. Oh. I just realized it's very hard to say and have it make sense. Hearts Alone. Like, what are you talking about? The band Heart.
Yep.
Right.
Sounds like a song called Alone.
Yeah. It sounds like when you said it like that, though, like as a bad indie film.
Yeah. Alone. Hearts Alone.
Like from the
90s. Yeah.
I rented that from Blockbuster one Friday night for sure. Because the cover art was cool. And I was like, all right, Hearts Alone, whatever.
Oh my God. Eric Stoltz. Yeah. Very much a 90s indie king. Yep.
That's right. He plays a townie. But then watching those duets that like build with like just like really remembering, oh, there's so many people out there, you know, and also there's so much talent in the world, you know, like there's so much talent, so many gifts, and like what a gift it is that we get to like experience each other through these things that also cause us so much pain. However, I do also get to be like, wow, I would have never heard all these people like harmonizing with each other, and they never meet each other. Like, it's so cool to me.
I know. That is wild. The music stuff is wild. Like, it's also the people who, and you showed me this person, it was like a young teen who was just like an amazing fucking editor. Like, I realized the TikToks I liked, when I actually got on TikTok, I was like, oh, I don't have the skill to do what they're doing. Like, they are literally cutting these scenes together. And I was like, I'm just going to stare at you and talk. This is not my medium. Because the real good shit is like that. Like, girl who like edited something, and then she put up another TikTok kind of showing how she did it.
She would like throw her sweatshirt and then edit to the point where like she jumps into the frame. So it looks like she threw the sweatshirt and then was in it.
Yeah, she threw it on herself.
A great editor, or just like people, like the dumbest one I saw was, I guess someone was filming their cat screwing around on a keyboard. Not keyboard cat, everyone. This is just
of course,
a cat.
Yeah, no.
This is just a cat just plunking around. And then a guy played these kind of jazz chords over it.
A duet, if you will.
It was a duet, and then it was a threat. A woman was singing kind of like jazzy stuff over it, and it sounded great.
Yeah, I know. It's so awesome. Like, it's just so great. It's so cool. Yeah. So that wasn't Keyboard Cat. It was more like an off-brand sort of generic cat. Exactly. Like maybe like a Kirkland cat, if you will.
Yes, a Kirkland signature cat. A Kirkland signature.
I had to do it.
You had to, and I love that you did.
I had to try.
I've been thinking of getting a Costco membership, but it seems like every dramatic like mask meltdown or Karen attack is happening in a Costco, so I don't know if I actually want to go into one.
I feel like it's probably one of the most dangerous places to go into these days. Yeah. Can you order online? You can order online,
Yeah, I can do it, but you know, it's like certain things where I'm like, it's like... Because the thing is, I love when I would go, like my mom in Jersey, she has a Costco membership. And I just love how there's always just like 89 ounces of cranberry juice.
Oh,
like
that
feeling that you're like, I'm never going to run out. I'm never going to run out.
Well, that's what makes you feel safe.
Exactly.
Having a full cupboard.
It does make me feel
of
safe.
Cranberry juice.
Cranberry juice. Or also.
No UTIs in this household.
Absolutely not.
But also like a lovely fucking packing like cardboard box of Always sanitary napkins. You know what I mean? I'm going to need them another 20 years. I might as well get them in bulk.
It's like you're I don't know, like you go to restrooms and put your Always into the restrooms and just
someone
supply
needs it.
Public restrooms. You never know.
Oh, I give them out. Like I'm the person who always has something in my purse. And so like if somebody's like, oh, I need, I'm like, honey, I got 100 at home. Take
what
them.
Up?
Take
you just like unfold it.
Yeah. I'm just like, you get a tamp. You get a pad.
Why don't restrooms have a leave one, take one?
They should have a leave one, take one for products.
I'm not going to leave one.
Yeah. Leave
I
one.
Meant like a used one.
I know. Well, I was gonna say, like, aren't you a Diva Cup stan?
Oh, yeah. I am.
You can't
I
leave
am
a Diva Cup.
I'm a menstrual cup dude for sure. Uh-huh, that's I'm like a menstrual cup man, you know? I'm a menstrual cup.
A menstrual cup, baby. Oh my God, it's so funny.
I want you on the box of the menstrual cup in like a brawny. Like the
yes.
Like,
yes.
Andy, yes.
Yeah, that's what I want.
Be my agent. I need.
That's what I want for you.
But it's
yeah,
so,
that's what I want for me too.
It's so funny because like I feel like I remember that from at this point, what, 2-3 years ago? Me, you, Buteau, like we were performing in D.C.
Oh, in D.C.
And you
did
that set about,
I
and I was like,
whole bit. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. And I was like, it's so funny because I'm like, my God, that was 3 fucking years ago. And yet I very much remember.
Yeah, dude. I was just thinking about that show too because I was trying to find a photo of me. I wanted to say that Matt Gaetz is evil Rhea Butcher, but then I was like, I don't really need to put that out into the world. I can
No.
I don't need to.
I said he looks like Hammerhead, who's a Spider-Man villain.
Yeah, he does.
Spider-Man villain with a giant skull.
It's so nuts. But yeah, I found photos from that for that comparison, so I was thinking about that. But yeah, I mean, once you get over the initial like terror of what you're doing by leaving something inside of your body for that long, it's so freeing.
It's so really much fits. Better. It's a tight seal.
Yeah, I mean, you got to get used to it and just like, you know, kind of try a couple different sizes. But
yeah.
Man, it is. And like certain ones, you only have to get new ones like once a year. So it's like 30 or 40 bucks a year.
Yeah. You know? That's huge. That's not even Costco can beat that. Not even a Costco
box. No, you really
can't. Nope. That's the good
stuff. And you're not like creating garbage and like it's just like way better. I will say it makes public restrooms interesting. Like it's a whole new experience. And like I will say it was freeing though, because like this guy goes into a women's restroom, always been confusing, probably always will, who knows what's gonna happen. Thank God for the pandemonium, because I don't have to go into public restrooms. But
yeah,
I will say I came out with, you know, like just bloody hands and this bloody cup, and all these women that were gonna yell at me for being in the wrong restroom were like, never mind. And I was like, oh, thank you, Diva Cup, for this protection I didn't know I needed in multiple ways, you know?
Oh, my God. That's so funny.
I want to go back to TikTok for a second.
Well,
not TikTok itself, but it's interesting that, like, you know, when you move out here and there's this idea that, like, somehow, like, talent is so, like, precious. There's only a few people that are talented. And Hollywood weeds them out.
That's a lie.
And then they get to write lucky number 11 or something. I forget what the whatever. Like somehow, like the best.
I forgot about that.
Never forget. In this household,
lucky number 11.
The best. No offense to that. I've never seen the movie. It just seems like
of course you haven't.
It's title. No, it's good. It's a good specific.
It's just in there.
Yeah.
For right now.
By the way, I gotta say, I added that last bit because I'm like, what if the writer is somehow of that movie is now a powerful writer and they hear this and they're like. Fuck that guy. He's blacklisted.
Yeah,
that's
what
I
LA
thought.
LA has done
that's
to you.
That's what I thought in my head.
Oh, see, I thought you were going to say, I thought that what if Rhea knew the writer? Which, because you've lived in LA long enough, you could.
How dare you?
That is art.
I will not stand for any lucky number Slevin Slander around this.
Slevin
around
Slander.
This house.
Slevin Slander.
Oh, Slevin Slander. He's that also one of my favorite actors, Slevin Slander.
Yeah, I saw that movie with JoJo
Siwa
and Slevin Slander.
Slevin Slander.
But like, you know, you have this, there's this myth that it's so precious, only a few people have it. Then you see TikTok, you're like, no, like tons of people have it.
Yeah.
They just like either don't want to professionalize it. Or they
don't have a father, cousin, friend in the industry.
Their father isn't the head of MGM. Or they don't
have
the money.
We have this, like, this society that makes you believe fully that that's the only way that you can enjoy something is on a television or in a movie theater, you know? And, like, I talk about this on my baseball podcast all the time that, like, Major League Baseball as a corporation literally wants to do that. Like, they are trying to own the concept of baseball, like, the concept of the game of baseball, you know?
Yeah.
So that the only way you can watch it is through them. You know, and through their version of it. And like that is, you know, it's like lack mentality. It's like not believing in abundance. It's capitalism. It's patriarchy. It's like all those things that there could be only one of anything. And I feel like that is part of what TikTok is like opening up, you know, like it was already there in Vine, you know, and then TikTok really shows that that's just not true. Like we get to experience each and also like I don't want to get paid for every single thing that I do. You know what I mean? Like I don't want to believe that that is the only value to the things that I do. You know, like for so long I thought if I'm not getting paid, why am I doing this? And like I didn't do anything. You know what I mean? Like I cut myself off from creativity because I was like, but I'm not, what's the end goal? You know?
Right.
And like that is a really, it's a really isolating way to think, you know? And it's easy to think that way. We live in a capitalist patriarchal society.
I know, it's colonized so fun.
Society, isn't it?
It's so fun. don't you guys like having all of your existence filtered through a rich white guy's eyes?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Isn't that the way to live?
Don't I love just having my brain tangled up by somebody else's belief system? I love it. Just untangling someone else, somebody from hundreds of years ago lives inside of my brain. I don't even know their name.
Right. You
know? probably Gerald.
Gerald?
Probably, yeah. Yeah.
Seems like a 1600s name.
So like, RB, we're going to answer some relationship questions, you know, from listeners. So I love to be like, where is the guest coming from? You know what I mean? Because we want that listener to know where you're coming from when you give your two cents, you know?
Sure.
And it's can I tell you something I feel about you?
Please, Naomi.
Well, you're a cool customer. You know, I think you're a real cool customer. Like you have like a really fucking like cool Marlboro Man vibe about you. Like I just feel like when I first met Rhea, they were just like, hey. Like it's a very like kind of like flat hey.
Sure.
But like open.
I feel like when you met me.
Yeah, Marlboro Man.
Yeah, we have
Man
the same
vibes.
Thing going on.
But it was so funny because I feel like we had.
Can I butt in parentheses? Because we're from the same region.
That's true.
Oh, yeah, wait.
Ohio.
Oh, yeah, Pennsylvania. We're in Pennsylvania, Andy, if you feel comfortable saying on the podcast.
100%. Oh, I've said for the last 10 years on various podcasts, from Reading, went to college in Pitt, went to grad school in Philly, all over.
Right.
Except for
you
Hazleton.
That's for Hazleton.
I've been everywhere.
You did the whole Keystone State.
All, up and back 76 all the time.
Oh, love 76. Runs right through my backyard.
Does it really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
No, I mean, not literally my backyard, but right down the street.
Well, I eminent domain. They seized your backyard to put in 76.
Yeah, pretty much.
But when I hear that, though, my first thing is, thank God you were never killed by a drifter. You know, I don't want you living off a highway. Living off a highway.
Yeah, I mean, me neither.
They come by. They just come
through. Yeah, they really do. Hitchhikers, grifters.
Yes.
Then they make their way to the White House. Anyway.
Sorry, Danny.
No, it's true because I do understand that. But at the same time, I think that you love love and you're like very sweet and tender.
Yeah.
Oh, Naomi,
like, right?
That's so nice.
Like it true. Is. Like
you're right.
Like you're lovey. Like you're sweet and lovey.
You're right. You're right. I am a little tender guy. Yeah, that's true.
You are.
I think underneath, this is the thing that I think about you and what I feel resonates with me. Is that you are warm, and also I think there's a goofiness too.
A real
goof.
Yeah.
Oh, big old goof. I mean, I definitely feel like, I mean, I look at Goofy and I'm like, oh yeah, that's me. You know? Absolutely. You guys are too sweet. I love you both so much.
But it's just funny because, right, like all performers, you have to have this like self-awareness kind of to do the work, which can obviously metastasize into self-consciousness and self-centeredness and you know what I mean?
I thought you were gonna say that self-aware, like the persona can metastasize.
Oh, I mean both. I think
definitely.
Yeah, but it's like, you know, it's but I guess my question was like, you know, you grew up in Akron, right?
That's right.
You were in Akron with your pops. Were you always like tamping down your real goofiness, or were you kind of always the way you are, which is like very open, like, you know what I mean? Like you'll kind of tell where you're at. Were you always like that, or is this like a part of sort of like adulthood and coming into your own?
I mean, Naomi, just want to say props on that. Great. That's a great question. I think that I was always like this, but I think you did really nail it that like I grew up with divorced parents. And so it was like back and forth. So I always had these like a very binary life in that way, where like I had, and I also didn't go to school where I lived, you know?
Okay.
And so then that was like a different, you know, I think that I've always been like this, but I did tamp it down. Like when I would go to like my dad's house or something, that was just not the situation, you know, like there were no other kids. And then it was just me and a bunch of adults. And so at a certain age, like you're not like once I hit like 7 years old, like it wasn't funny anymore. You know what I mean? It's just like, this is a chore, you know, like, and so I was just like, I would just literally, like you said, tamp it down and not be goofy, not have fun.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's like the beginning of having that sort of dual nature, you know? And I think in the past couple years, I'm like letting that be more of my authentic self and less of the like cool flat thing that you guys are talking about. Like, I like being like cool and chill in like a friendly way,
yeah,
but not detached, you know,
like,
not detached, not unapproachable, not. And like also totally forgive myself for being that way. You know, it's like I needed to be, you know what I mean? It's like, yeah, all the things, but like the like goofy, fun, gooey, tender stuff is just so much more, you know,
yeah.
There's just so much more to it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's not necessarily like Andy, you were talking about like Hollywood and it's like, yeah, they don't like that. And I don't care. It's
yeah,
the thing. Because yeah, right here is where it's fun, you know? And
yeah,
like, this is what's important, you know, to me,
yeah,
at least. This yeah is like ultimately what matters, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was it in any way like a fear of vulnerability? I'm projecting my own psychology right
sure,
now,
yeah,
by the way. Because that's what it was for me. It was fear. Like, I think there was this, like, I can really, I mean, not to get too Freudian, but like, it was very dialectical. Like, it was like goofy, fun, weird Andy, and then not getting a lot of positive reinforcement for goofy, weird, fun Andy. So I'm just like, I'll tamp that.
Yeah.
Again, not like consciously. It was just all very subconscious.
Well, right.
Unconscious.
Because we're kids and we're building. It's building and it's being created. And so we just like go to where the love is,
right,
even when that's not the positive thing, you
yeah
know?
Right.
So like,
right.
So definitely it's like a fear of vulnerability because, I mean, I'm talking about like being like 4 and 5 years old and having like, you know, a lot of fear around a lot of behaviors. So it's like, yeah, absolutely. Being vulnerable. I feel like I'm 38. I'll be 39 this year. I feel like the last maybe calendar year, somewhere around there. I don't really believe in time so much these days anymore, but in terms of like on paper, but only recently have I begun to really begin to understand what vulnerability actually means.
Hmm.
You know, mm-hmm, that it is like, it's not just like sharing everything. It's like, oh, in this moment, am I being vulnerable? You know, like
mm-hmm
in this moment, what is the connection here? You know? And that is just like a lifetime of reconnecting to what it can be, you know?
Yeah. So that process, was there something that jumpstarted that process? Or was it just like a gradual like, hey, I'm really like pushing down this part of me and it doesn't feel good and I've got to start letting it out. It might not even be like a conscious thought in your brain, but.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely wasn't a conscious thought. Like, I wouldn't say it's only recently been a conscious thought. And then the part of the journey of it, I mean, I could point to things in my life that are specific, or I could just be like, yeah, my life was just like, I couldn't continue, you know, it was like,
couldn't continue doing what you were doing.
Either I continue doing this and it's not going to be good, or I try something else, you know, and
mm-hmm
that decision wasn't even a really conscious thing. It was just like following something else, you know, like it was like being magnetized towards what I was beginning to realize I wanted out of my life, or in my life, I should say, not out of my life. That's very capitalist thinking too. So my life has to profit something
yes
to me. Yeah, exactly. But like what I wanted to surround myself with so that I could then be able to give that, you know, like,
yeah,
which I don't think at the time was a conscious thing. Thank God it was a subconscious thing. That means there's love in my subconscious. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, yeah. Yeah.
I can begin to get wrapped up in the idea that my subconscious only has these negative survival tactics in there, but it's like, no, both things are in there. And
yeah,
I guess I just get to focus and cultivate the more positive things in the subconscious and get a new relationship to the other things and just tell them like, hey, buddy, it's okay now. You're okay. You're okay. Like, you're okay. You're okay. We're right here. Your feet are on the ground, you know, that kind of yeah. thing.
Are you in a relation now?
I am in a relation. Yeah.
But okay. So if my, know my timeline, what I know, right? So you've gone through a lot of changes in the last year, but you've been in the relationship longer. Like, you've been in that relationship
a little bit longer,
right?
Yeah.
We met.
Exactly. We met. Yeah, Rhea's you did. Lover. But you know, I don't want to. I don't know
back.
If you want to put it on the pod. So I was like, that's why I was like,
oh,
you
yeah,
tell
yeah,
me.
Sorry.
And
no,
like,
yeah, no, she's wonderful. We've been together for, it would be like 3 years in October.
Right. But then you started 6 months ago, right? You posted?
6 months ago, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, and again, because you posted, I feel like I could say that.
Yeah, of course.
Now, that was a decision you made and a process you go through. You know, I don't know how major the change feels to you where you're like, this is happening. Or like, it was just like.
Or like, this is happening.
Yeah, like, this is happening.
It's kind of all of it, you know.
Rhea just received a bowl. I imagine the bowl is healthy. There's chickpea, maybe.
My partner just made me some food. There's some nutritional yeast on there, which sounds disgusting, but it's delicious. And it's like a little ravioli with some spinach and some sweet potatoes.
Oh, I love that. I'm trying to get healthy, so I like to know when people are eating.
I mean, me too.
Vegetables.
I have like slightly high cholesterol, which is like, what? I guess I'm old now. Okay.
But we should have ravioli for dinner.
Oh, I'm down.
Just putting that out there.
Into it.
Thank you for putting it out there on the pod. So
you're welcome.
What was the process of making that change within the word
within
I want to say is I was going to say confines, but I know I shouldn't call them confines. Mm. But
it's
you know,
confines,
it's like
within the boundaries.
Yeah,
because
it's like you're not alone, right? So whatever choice you make is going to impact that person. Was it a production?
I mean, no. Okay. When you say production, what do you mean? Just so I can get more clear.
I mean is like. Was it dramatic? Did you have to fight for what you wanted?
Absolutely not.
Okay. Gorgeous.
Not at all. Because, like, it was, I mean, what's so interesting is it's like, it was such a blip on the radar that it's hard for me to really remember the specifics of the conversation, but it was really just like, hey, I'm thinking of doing this. And it's just like, great. Awesome. That sounds great. Because it's what I was already bringing to the relationship. You know, it's not that much different. And if I, you know, like today is the day that I get my shot. And if I, and she gives me my shots too, cause I'm just like not there to a place where I feel like I can stick myself. But, if I was like, you know, I don't want to do this. She'd be like, cool. And then that would be it, you know, or I wanted to talk about it, we would talk about it more. It doesn't actually affect our relationship that much. You know what I mean? It's like, it doesn't, it has only changed my insides, you know, it's only like changed. And obviously I've been lucky to not have a big spike of anything. I've mostly been taking a very low dose. So except at the beginning, we were accidentally doing like a big dose because the numbers on the things are very confusing. So I was doing a pretty big dose. And I will say it did spike like my experience was like very heightened. And then I got back down to like a lower dose. And so it has not been as intense as maybe some other people's experience of like having big emotional swings or anything. Mm-hmm. Like people have described being very depressed when they take tea, when they start it. I just haven't had that experience, so we've been lucky that like nothing has come up of been like to be like, look, we have to talk about this. You know? And so then also in our relationship, like that's just not, you know, each of us, we are very much individuals. And then our relationship is very much its own, like another third thing. You know what I mean? Like it becomes its own thing. So we each have a lot of autonomy, but then also have a very shared life. Even in this, like being in a 500 square foot apartment together every day, most days, like it's still that way, you know?
That's good. Yeah. That's good. Mm-hmm. That sounds like growth and change and maturity, meaning
100%
to have your separate time. And it just, the relationship as a third thing, it feels very good.
It is good, and it's a practice too. Like it's not like, oh, it's just like that. I mean, it is a lot easier than you think once you start doing it, but it's still work, you know, like, we still, it's still practice. It's still every day, like, saying, like, I'm going to go do this by myself. Because it's, I love her. I like her a lot. Like, I want to spend time with her. But it's like, oh, no, this is good. This is a good thing to do, you know. And it's good to say it, because then you say it and it's okay, you know. And also, I would say, just more about the tea conversation, what I've learned is, if somebody said, like, I don't know that I can deal with you taking that, and then I would say, okay, that is a deal breaker, you know, like, is like, that is. And so, because that's just not my experience for somebody else either. So, and that's okay. Like, if somebody, you know, ultimately, if somebody's like, yeah, I can't deal with that, then great, you can't. So it's going to suck and it's sad, but that's just the way that it's going to go, and we'll figure it out, you know? Luckily, that hasn't been the case.
When you said before that there's, like, there's just this internal change, do you mean more, do you mean, like, physically an internal change that you feel? Or did you mean, like,
because what I'm psychic,
a psychic, as you, as you're like, oh, this is me, as you're, as you, as you align more with, like, who you are, I imagine it's a settling, that there's a settling feeling or a peace or something. I don't know. I'm throwing words out there, but that's just my guess.
I just want to say to both of you how much I love you, and I appreciate your respect and kindness and curiosity as friends.
Oh,
like, I just want to, I just want to point that out, that it is really great to be asked these things and with such kindness and curiosity. I just want to point that out to both of you and reflect that back to you, that I love you both very much.
Angel.
And it's very kind, and I love it, because it's missing in the conversation, you know, often. So thank you for having it. I appreciate that very much. Andy, it's like kind of all those things, you know. I don't really know where the physical experience and the psychic and the emotional experience end, you know. They're just kind of all in there together, and, like, you know, there are physical outward changes, but what I did not expect, because my biggest fears were the physical changes that I did not want. You know, that's what kept me from considering it fully. And once I realized, like, maybe that's not what I should focus on, kind of like talking about the subconscious thing, like, maybe I just focus on the possibility. And I just open myself up to it, more will be given, more will be shown to me. And I started talking to people that I was friends with, who then began to share, like, oh yeah, no, I've been on, like, a low dose of tea for this long, whatever. And we had private, kind conversations, you know, like, I'd been living my life in a very public way that I had completely lost touch with cultivation of private relationships, you know? And so around certain things, you know, like, Naomi, like you were kind of talking about, and they just would say things like, you know, it's like more than I could have ever imagined, you know, and none of it was specific, you know.
Then they just said,
like, I just feel more like myself, you know. And again, not everybody's going to have this experience. I might change my mind. And all of that is totally open and valid, you know. But it's just like, and I think some of it, too, is even not the chemicals in my body. It is my willingness to go towards something I feel might be good for me. You know what I mean? It's it's also that. So it's not, it's a holistic experience. It's going away from, what does it mean? What is it going to do? What is it going to say? What do you think? What's going to happen? How's it going to look? And go, and just going, like, that's cool. I get it. I understand, my friend. But I'm going to go over here and I'm going to check it out, you know, and, like, be open to what happens.
Can I? Oh, sorry. Naomi, were you about to say that?
I was, but you can go ahead.
Well, no, because I'm
sweeties.
This is
little
where
sweeties.
Ohio, Pennsylvania, Rust Belty areas.
Yeah.
I think one of the difficult things about maybe just life in non-major cities, maybe I can just generalize, but, like, is that it adheres very strongly to, like, mass culture, what I call, like, beer commercial culture, right? And it creates in people the desire to, like, play beach volleyball and drink a six pack of Bud, or whatever, like that, and to imagine your life as that. I don't really
to adhere to those rules.
I'm kind of curious about, like, was that stuff kind of reinforced when you were younger? And is this a process of coming out from under the detritus of that?
Well, because weren't you, like, a little skater boy?
Yeah.
Really? I feel like I remember seeing a picture of
you were a skater, listening to like Guided by Voices and like doing.
I never really listened to GBV, but which I should have. I just never got into them very much. I was really into ska in high school, but then I got into like Modest Mouse and Fugazi and stuff. But yeah, I mean, I was a skater in high school and a little bit into college and stuff. So
all right,
yeah.
Let me rephrase that. You're listening to Skank and Pickle. And
doing their cover of Gates of Steel by Devo.
Skank and Pickle is that's a real
it is a real band. It is a real band that I owned CDs.
I cannot take Caucasian culture. I cannot take it.
Mephiscopheles.
But ska itself is not Caucasian. Ska punk, however, is probably best.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Third wave ska.
This is what he told me.
Soul and calypso. So that's not Caucasian culture whatsoever. Those two things, not white. But ska punk is a little bit colonizer. Although they're all, anyway, whatever. Now we're getting off into a whole thing. I don't want to do a whole thesis on ska and the colonializing effects of ska. But it's always true, though. Like, I mean, that's the thing, Andy. You're very right. And also, we're still coming out from under that every day out here. You know, like, there's not, like, Los Angeles, San Francisco, New York, maybe Chicago. Like, it's always, in terms of queerness, it's a numbers game, you know? And and I guess I would say in terms of anything, it's a numbers game. Like, you're going to a city, which is why we have such political, fraught political divisions in terms of cutting lines, you know, like literally sometimes on a map, between cities and rural states, because it's very highly divided along racial, queer, all those lines, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so we're always digging out from under that, you know? Yeah. Always. I mean, we could drive, what, an hour the other way, and I'm basically back in Akron again. I mean, I feel like I'm in Akron in the neighborhood that I live in, you know, like in a good way, you know? And so, because it's like L.A. is not all Beverly Hills, like whatsoever. Only Beverly Hills is Beverly Hills, you know? It's very isolating. But to say, like, yeah, I don't know. I mean, there was a something that was harder for me to, I don't want to say overcome, because, again, that's really, like, whatever. But to like, accept or understand or begin to understand is that I was actually in some patriarchal thinking about going towards taking hormones, you know, that like, well, you can't, because then you're not this and then you're not that. And then you can't be this. And then what does it mean if you're that? And then what if you do this? And what if, you know, it's like, none of that is relevant. Mm-hmm. You know, there's just me and a decision, you know, that's it. It's just like, this is, and you know, there's even like, you know, and there's, within like the trans population, because I like to use the word population these days as opposed to communities, because like I just think it's a little more inclusive of the experience of anybody, like, because we're not all like living in some community together, we're in in the population together, everybody,
right? No identity is monolithic,
right? Exactly. That that there is some way to be trans, and that there's only one way to be trans. There's only one way to be a lesbian. There's only one way to be gay. There's only one way. And like, that just isn't true. You know, that's just, again, patriarchal thinking, capitalism, and all that stuff. It's just like this idea that there's only one way, that only one person can be famous for doing this thing. Meanwhile, there's a bunch of people that are famous for doing that thing, but don't look at them because they're kind of all white guys. Everybody else, though, you know what I mean? Like, and it's not always directly like about a man. Patriarchal thinking is like a way of approaching the world where there's only one way and there's a hierarchy of ways, that one way is somehow better than the other way. And that is something that kept me from seeking my authentic self for a long time. And I didn't know, because it's so deep, you know, it's like so deep. You think, I'm a feminist and I believe all these things, and it's like my feminism became patriarchal and I didn't even know it. So it's like untangling all those things.
Well, it's funny, because like part of why I'd asked that question initially about tea is because I know I am a person who is very fearful of, like, for instance, when you started going to therapy, I was convinced you would leave me. Meaning when a partner goes through a change, I am like, especially like a change that is about like getting right with yourself, getting real with yourself, I feel like I feel like I'm a draining force to be around. And so I feel like once you start to like get clear and get clean, you'll be like, I ain't got time for this. So I realized that it's like when I, and of course, again, that's like the self-centered way of thinking about another person's change, right? But that's why I was like, was it a problem? Because like, to me, it wouldn't, I just be around like, oh no. Once they sort of realize that life can be better, I'm out the door. I better start behaving. That's like how I feel. And I remember that like when you got into therapy, I was like, oh Lord, I got about 6 months because this therapist gonna tell him that he can do better. He can do bad all by himself. Isn't that so? It was like, it's so sick. It's so sick and suffering.
No. I mean, I don't want to say everyone, but let's say I think that is a general fear people have of there. And it's why, like, I think in like bad couples, they they are fearful of the other person making a change and they actively stop. Like you see it on sitcoms and like TV shows all the time where it's like, my wife wants to go out into the workforce again. Hi, I'm Kevin James. This is
And I
gotta stop her, and then they do all these wacky hijinks,
right,
to stop them from going out into the workforce again,
right?
And then they learn a lesson at the end.
Of course, they learn a lesson, but the wife never goes back into the workforce.
Yes.
Yeah,
the she always like, comes back.
So did you have? I guess you're asking, like, did you have any of those fears?
Well, no, not necessarily you having them. I was just kind of explaining where I was at and like this
did
idea
it come up? Yeah.
Sort of just also just like what it is to let people, period.
Yeah.
To be in a relationship for a long time with any person who is committed to self-reflection is to be with a person who's going to change.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah. And I mean, ultimately, like, I know this is, it's going to sound cliche because it's become cliche, but I have begun to understand cliches in my old age or whatever, but like, if you love something, set it free is absolutely true. Like,
yeah,
you cannot, like, I had a conversation with a professor who just shared with me about from college, like where he was talking about his kids who are now in college, which makes me feel tremendously old. But like his children who were children when I was, but he was like, you know, my wife and I just made this commitment with each other when we had each of our kids that everything we did was in service of letting them go. And I was just like, you know, like, oh, that's the thing. You know, I mean, even commitment,
that's good parenting,
is letting go. You know, commitment is saying I will be here. And that doesn't necessarily mean that you will be together. You know what I mean? Like, it's and that's a scary, scary thought.
Yeah.
Because it's not concrete, and it's not like, that's not what I thought I would, but that is like the whole thing, you know, like sometimes, you know, relationships change and ebb and flow and every, you know, but like, it's all the process, I guess.
Right. But that's also like the key to being a good parent. Cause I think a lot of times, I think what I realize in some of the hardest part about being a parent, remember when we were talking to James? James is our couples therapist. We live for him. And he was saying, he's like, you know, being a parent of an adult can be very difficult for people who never really process letting go. Meaning like, because basically it's like, you know, it's true. To be a parent is like, in some ways, like a sad love story. Like, you literally make this thing and you get it.
That leaves you.
And that's literally, if you're doing it right, they leave you. And yeah. I think for a lot of parents who don't know how to like kind of let their kid grow up or be autonomous, it's because they never really kind of accepted that is the deal. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's like,
and they probably didn't receive that either.
Well, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
In
yeah,
some
yeah.
way, shape, or form, because it's really easy to forget that our parents aren't also just people who also had parents at some point, you know?
I know.
It's like,
I know.
Yeah, it's, I mean, it's wild. And you can't, that's the other thing too is, you can love somebody and you can support them and you can tend to them and take care of them as much as you can, but you cannot prevent them from feeling pain, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
In fact, it's like kind of a terrible thing to try to do it, which I didn't know until very recently in my life. But you know, that like, but everyone needs to experience the things they need to experience because, you know, the pain that I've experienced in my life has proven to, bring about the most change, positive and tremendous, like monumental change in my life. So allowing somebody their experience in that way is tremendously hard, but it's like one of the best things you can do as a human being, as a parent, as a partner, as a person. It just really is.
Yep, that's what I'm working on therapy now. Because this might just be a my family thing. It could be
probably not.
Well, this is
I mean, no offense, Andy, but you know.
but like the kind of like we're gonna smooth everything over. We're going to
if the
boat starts rocking slightly, we're going to put every person possible to. Well, how do you stop? A
I don't
boat
know.
From
I don't know this. Metaphor.
I started the metaphor.
Yeah, I don't know.
And then immediately
you can't
got into
stop
trouble.
Stop a boat from rocking. Not in the ocean. That's for sure.
The van starts rocking. And so
Do not come a knocking.
That's fast.
That's just me and the boys bopping.
If we see a van rocking, we put our heads down and drive past it. That's our family.
That's your family.
I quickly lost the thread, but I say that like for a long time I learned like smooth things over as much as possible, and then I never learned to live in the discomfort.
Oh,
and
yeah.
What I'm doing now is like, you know, other like if Naomi's feeling bad, I can't there's nothing I can do. I can like comfort her. I can give her a kiss on the cheek, and I can be sweet. But like, I can't make you not feel.
Nope.
No. And you've had to understand that sometimes I just feel bad for feeling bad. Because he'll always be like, often Andy's like, so what happened? And I'd be like, nothing happened.
Nothing.
Like, I was like, literally, I just thought too hard.
I have a brain. I'm a human being on this planet.
It got real dark. But it's like, but I know what you mean though about going through pain. But lately I've been realizing my problem is that like, I have too high of a threshold. I had a friend who used to say to me, He's like, when it gets bad enough, he's like, when it hurts bad enough, you'll change. And I think the problem has now become that I can really withstand a lot of hurting. The problem is I can be uncomfortable for a very long time.
Yeah, man,
I've
been there.
I don't even know what I'm looking for. Like this idea of like, what would it feel like to feel comfortable or light? I can't even really fathom it. So it's a hard thing to kind of strive for. Do you know what I mean?
Sure.
Oh, damn it. It's getting too bad. I got to figure out. I just get used to it.
Well, the chaos and the discomfort is much. You know that. You know what that feels like. So why not?
Yeah. Ugh, I got to make a change, honey. I got to make a change. I ate too much and then had trouble breathing, Rhea.
Oh, no.
I got to make a change.
Tell me about that part.
I told you I didn't feel good yesterday. I said my stomach is too big.
Hold on. You said I didn't feel good. You didn't say I had trouble breathing.
Well, I just felt so stuffed.
What did you have that stuffed you up?
I had some soy riso nachos.
Oh, that'll do it. That'll expand in the old belly.
He had the tacos, and I put mine on nachos. Because I had tacos earlier in the
day. There's a lot of vegetables. There are peppers and corn, roasted corn and tomatoes inside. Yeah.
That's soy riso. That'll get you sometimes, you know?
It'll get you sometimes. I just thought I went a little overboard, and I just don't know how to not go overboard. Like, I'm either not eating or I'm going overboard, and there's no in between.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm too grown to not know how to eat normal.
That's,
you know what
I mean? No.
No,
I'm only beginning to learn how to eat. There is no normal.
Well,
again,
just in a way,
patriarchal thinking.
When I say normal, I guess eating in a way that is not a mental obsession, and also does not lead to stomach pain.
Uh-huh.
That's what I mean. It's like I don't think most people eat and then hurt.
like a comfortable way.
Yes. Yes.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's just practice, you know.
Just practice.
Well, listeners, if you want to give some advice, we're going to take a quick break and then we'll be right back and give you advice.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Dear listeners, Andy here doing the ad read again, and today we're talking about MeUndies. As the male half of couples therapy, I was asked to do this one because we're talking about boxers, which, and I hope I'm not breaking any confidences, Naomi does not wear. Now, if you're a podcast listener like me, you've heard plenty of ads for MeUndies, and frankly, I had always thought it's underwear. How special can it be? And then I tried them, and friends, it is like wearing magic. It is like wearing a dream. It is so soft, there is nothing earthly I can compare it to. I am embarrassed, absolutely embarrassed to say I'm middle-aged and just finding this out, but the material your underwear is made out of really does make a difference. I won't say where I usually get my boxers from, but for comparison, MeUndies are like wearing a cloud covered in angel's feathers, and the other ones I wear are like wearing a bear trap smothered in puke. MeUndies got style for everyone, from all black classics to fun expressive prints in sizes extra small to 4XL. And they use sustainably sourced materials and work with partners that actually care for their workers. Also, I gotta point this out, there is a particular technology that the folks at MeUndies would like me to discuss. Now, you know Naomi is sex negative and I am sex neutral, so I didn't want to have to say what this technology is, so I asked friend of the show, friend in real life, Mort Burke, to say the phrase. So, okay, here it goes. For any listeners with penises and testicles, I can say medical words. You might be interested in MeUndies' sophisticated
contoured pouch and ball caddy.
What's that again, Mort? They're incredibly comfortable?
Contoured pouch and ball caddy.
Wonderful. Thanks, buddy. Okay, soft underwear comes in all packages at MeUndies. So to get 20% off your first order plus free shipping, go to MeUndies.com/therapy. That's MeUndies.com/therapy for 20% off plus free shipping. MeUndies, comfort from the outside in.
Can we take a minute and talk about Skims? Now, you know I'm a recent Skims convert, having tried their underwear in the last few months, and I am now living lifted, supported, changed. So I decided to keep trying new stuff. And let me tell you, Skims basics and foundations are where it's at. Yes, I recently got the Soft Smoothing Seamless t-shirt. And y'all, it is so comfortable. It's been the perfect layer for me. I'm rocking it under a cardigan or a sweater when I want to keep it fitted and fabulous and not look all bulky. I mean, y'all know I'm back to work. Hashtag blessings. And I'm definitely that girl who is always cold in the office. Okay, I need my layers. But I'm still trying to look put together. And the Soft Smoothing Seamless shirt is helping me get it right. And I also got the boyfriend t-shirt in heather gray, and it is so friggin' soft and comfortable, and it's giving casual but intentional when I wear it with a pair of jeans. I'm feeling very good in it. So if you want to give these and other basics a try, shop the Skims t-shirt shop at skims.com. Now available in sizes extra, extra small through 4X. Thank you for the range, Skims. If you haven't yet, be sure to let them know we sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select our show in the drop-down menu that follows. Again, that's skims.com. Go check out everything they've got and the new t-shirt shop.
Hey y'all, wanted to pop in real quick and let you know that if you like what you hear and you want to support the show, there are a couple different ways.
Most of our support comes from our wonderful Patreon community. For $5 a month, you get 2 bonus episodes of just us, mostly spilling the tea, and occasionally searching for crazy bread in Los Angeles, plus lots of other bonus content. We love our Page pals, and we couldn't do this without you. And if you want to join, go to patreon.com/couplestherapypod.
We also have merch, which includes Gotta Miss a Bitch and Jubu t-shirts, yeah, which you can find in the link tree in our Twitter or Insta bios.
And for absolutely $0, you can rate and review the show on Apple.
5 stars, please. It'll only take 10 seconds, and it helps us tremendously. Okay, that's it. We love you deeply. Now back to the show.
And we're back.
And we're back. Rhea Butcher, I swear to God, we can talk for 9 hours, but we got to help you handle your scandal.
There was a moment where I'm just like, should we scrap the... But we threw forward to the fact that we were going to answer advice questions.
So I know,
I'm
just like,
oh, yeah, we did.
Trapped by the format.
I'll come back anytime.
You got it. You got it.
I know that's what you're saying, so yeah. I'll come back whenever you want.
Honestly.
I can read between the lines. You guys are asking me back. You want a third co-host? I'm down. Here we are.
But I will
welcome to couples therapy. We're a triad now. What's up, everybody?
You're joking about like coming back, but I'm going to say this. We don't, we did not become Los Angelinos we're like 1% Los Angelinos. So when we actually like say, oh, we should hang out or we should, come back.
We mean it deep in our bones.
We actually mean it. And then it's confused. I know like when I moved out, when we first moved out here and I was at a party with someone that I had like kind of been like friendly with or acquaintances with at UCB in New York. And I saw them at this party and that person was like, oh, we should hang out. And I go, oh yeah, sure. I didn't really know a lot of people out here. Give me your number. And he like recoiled. Like there was an actual visible wince when I said, whoa, like, yeah, give me your number and I'll text you and we can figure out a time. And he's like, so, and that's how I learned that, oh, we should hang out is just something people say without there being any.
Yeah, it's basically like, oh, it's good to see you.
All right. So we get advice questions over Twitter, Instagram, Gmail. But the thing we love the most is, of course, your voicemails, and that is what we're going to hear.
I love it. I love when I can hear your tone. All right. What's this one?
Here we go.
Hi, Andy and Naomi. I am calling with an advice question, obviously. I have been kind of estranged from one of my childhood friends for a long time, by my choice, and she is not someone who I want or need in my life anymore.
All right.
And she has periodically tried to reach out since we kind of broke off our friendship. And I have ignored all of those outreaches. And recently she sent me a baby announcement in the mail. She got my address from my mom. Her mom got my address from my mom. And
oh, the moms.
That's not that I don't want her to have my address. I do have nightmares that she'll show up on my stoop at some point, which I do not want. But I kind of want to send her a baby present. I don't want to be friends with her, but it feels kind of cruel not to send something.
Oh, boy.
I don't know. I'm feeling weird about it.
Clearly.
So, let me know what you think. Thanks. Also, P.S. Has anyone noticed that your last guest, Amy Aniobi, her whole name sounds like your two first names? Am I the first one, or is this something people have noticed? Andy and Naomi, Amy Aniobi. It was weird to me. I can't get it out of my brain. Okay, thanks.
Oh, my God. That's so funny.
This is why we love the
voicemails. I love the voicemails. They're my favorite.
Wow. Yeah, no, that's great. That was a great ending.
That was so unexpected.
That was amazing.
I did not listen. I don't listen to the full thing because I want to be surprised too.
Yeah.
So that was I'm like, wait, what?
I know. Well,
you want to keep some mystery.
Because I was like, oh, the question's done. What's this last 30 seconds? I thought it was like they forgot to hang up or something. And it was like, no, right.
Nope. There's a gift in there.
There's a little gift. It is so funny. As you said to Rhea when you were listening, like, you're answering your question. It's just so funny when someone's like, literally, this person said, I have no need for her in my life. I have nightmares about her showing up to my door. But I don't want to be cruel.
Sure,
should I get her a present?
I mean, I think this person that called, I'm going to call her Beth just for fun.
Good, yeah,
she,
call her Beth.
I think she wants to send this person a gift. And, like, there's nothing wrong with that. But if you send the gift, that means you're participating in a relationship with this person. Mm-hmm. And so I have many follow-up questions that will never be answered, which is, it sounds as though that person ended the relationship and the other person did not.
Exactly.
So, and that's okay. That's how human beings operate, you know? And, like, you set a boundary and you don't wait for the other person to follow it, you keep it up. So if you don't want to be friends with that person, you don't send something, you know? It's just that cut and dry. It really honestly is.
Yeah.
But if you want to send something because you're like, you know, this feels nice to me, not that it would be cruel if I didn't. You know,
it's like,
if you're like, you know, I feel okay with this, and you know, and you're like okay with this, might open the friendship back up in a different way, like you're participating in it. You know what I mean? You're participating in a relationship. If you feel good about doing that, then that's great. But if you're like, I don't want to have any contact with this person,
right?
Do not contact that person with a baby gift. You know, like that's just, that's the way that that goes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. I actually, this is why I like doing, there's no B. This is why I like doing this with guests, because that's a perspective I never would have, that like, oh, you might, if you want to send it because you could be opening this up to a new way of being friends with this person.
Mm-hmm.
Because to me, mine is just like, don't send it, right? Don't send it because you're going to lead them on. Because I remember there was I had a friend from like when I first moved to New York, a friend and I, through like comedy at UCB, like we became really good friends. And then at some point it was obvious, like he didn't want to really hang out with me. And I got the picture. Mm-hmm. I'm like, all right, for whatever reason, I'm too cool or whatever it is, you know?
That's right.
That's why. You're too cool. He's not cool enough. I mean,
he wants to play beach volleyball. It just wasn't working anymore.
It wasn't working.
I wasn't slamming enough brews.
You can tell. Couldn't even say it.
The pause in there as my brain was like, what do they, capital they, the beer drinkers, what do
them
they
those
say?
Over there, what do they do?
But then at some point, like, oh, it was when Trump got elected and we were at some show together. And he was like, oh, we should hang out. And I was like, oh, maybe he wants to be friends again. And maybe this is the Hollywood thing where we were in New York, but that thing where I confused the, like, just the, oh, we saw each other
and nice.
Someone said,
yeah.
And we had like a nice time, like connecting. And he said, we should hang out. And I was like, oh, okay. And I jumped on it like a hungry puppy.
Sure. Yeah.
And then I reached out and I'm like, hey, yeah, let's get lunch. And then he just blew me off. Yeah. So when I was thinking, I'm just like, don't, unless you do, as Rhea said, unless you do want to like maybe open up to the possibility of continuing the friendship or of like changing it in a way, don't send it because you are leading them on.
Right.
And if you're doing it out of like, you feel some obligation to like, I don't know, some society that thinks
right, the baby gods.
That has nothing. I mean, that's just a concept in your brain that people are going to think. And like, if you don't want to be friends with this person and she's like, man, I can't believe they didn't send me a gift after you've been like, I do not want to be friends with you. I've ignored you for 5 years. Like, that is just how that goes. You know what I mean? But you have to like, you have to just go, I am not sending a gift, or you know what? I'm going to send a gift. And like, but it has to come out of the inside space. You know, there's nobody, you know what I mean? I don't know.
Well, it's like with my dad. So my dad like came on the scene, honey.
This podcast should also be called, well, it's like with my dad. That's the subtext of everything, honestly.
But it's like, it's very true, very real. But it was like my dad recently, like this was during in the pandemic, he had gotten sick and it was looking very dire. I have not spoken to him in years. My aunt reached out and let me know. And I really did. I was like, well, Andy, should I reach out to him? I don't even know. You know, and Andy was like, well, you know, if something were to happen to him for real, like if this is really his final, like, do you not want to say something?
Do you feel like you would be okay
right.
if that was it? Or do you think you should like either extend an olive branch or say whatever you want to say?
So then I was like, all right, let me just see. So I called him. He in the hospital, you know, I got his hospital number. We talked. He pulled through. And now he trying to hit me up, Rhea. And this is the thing.
Yeah.
I don't want to hang out with you. I don't want to talk to you. I just wanted to make sure you weren't dead and that if you were going to be dead, that I said hi. And now sure. I am not prepared to have, but it has opened up now him, like, you know, he's very like, he's got my number now, he's texting.
Yeah.
Granted, my number has not changed in 12 years, so okay.
Sure.
Anyway,
so but Naomi's college friends, now that she is a well-known stand-up, feel free to text her.
But like he's been texting her, like, you know, I hear it's bad in LA, like let me know you're okay. Like he suddenly
sure.
now wants it, where, and it's like, see, this is what I had not want to have happened. Okay, this
right.
is not what I wanted. I was like, just because I checked on you in the hospital don't mean that I got to tell you what I
do. You don't. Naomi, here's the thing. Let me just reflect this back to you. You don't. You don't.
I know,
but you don't.
He texts
I know.
Again.
And like, I have similar experiences where these things come in and not necessarily from my dad. He doesn't know how to text, but like where I'm like, I don't, hey, this isn't for me. You know, like I've said that. And now when it comes in, if it does come in, I get to just let it go because like I've already said, you know what I mean? It's like, I literally cannot stop people from texting me. Just like this woman cannot stop this person from getting at her.
Getting her mom to get her address from her mom.
There's also a conversation to be had with her mom to say like, hey mom, love you. I'm sure you did this with the most kindness in your heart, but please check with me before you give anybody my address. Even if you think it's somebody that like I'm totally cool with, I would just love it if you checked with me first. It's a totally cool, fine boundary to put up, you know, like,
right.
Like people, you know, like my partner asks, you know, we check in like, hey, so-and-so is asking for your number. Is it okay if I give it? I don't just give it out. And like, it's almost always safe, but it's just like checking in with somebody and being like, hey, so-and-so is asking for this. Is it okay if I pass it along? You know, but, and it's hard again, you can only say it once and then just, you know, practice it. But, it really is a practice of like, you know, you did the right thing because like you thought it was this person's last moments. And so you get to just like hold that in there and just go like, well, somewhere in there is a tiny, tiny caring person that wants to know you're okay. And it might be selfishly so that he doesn't feel bad because my dad does the same thing. But somewhere in there, there's kindness. And that also doesn't mean you have to show up for it. You know, like you do not have to.
Yeah.
You can just.
I gotta be texting RB more. I'm not texting RB enough,
text
and now I got RB helping me, giving me advice.
When we text me instead of your dad. You know, when your dad texts you, just text me.
but it's the same thing with this person where it's like it's true. It's like you think you should give a gift because it's like, well, babies are a big deal. Like I should give something for the baby. It's like no.
This person
is already reaching out to you without any olive branch. You purchasing something for their baby is literally saying, I care about you and your offspring and would like to bring something into your life.
And I don't even know if this person needs to bring an olive branch because we don't know that this person has set a specific bound. We don't know.
That's
you know
true.
What I mean?
Yeah.
You can say like, look, this is not, you know, we just don't know, you know, but you, like you said, Naomi, it's true. That's the thing. If you're doing it out of like, somebody just said this to me the other day, fear, obligation, or guilt, not good. Like any action that you're taking out of those three things, not a good, not a good spot to do it from.
Let's create an acronym. Don't take action in a fog. Fear, obligation. Oh, did you already say fog? Okay, you do. Because I was like, fog. Don't do it in a fog.
Yeah.
I was proud. Anyway, let's do the next question.
All right. All right. Let's do one more voicemail.
Oh, I love it. Give it to me.
All right. Hitting play.
This is a 3-minute voicemail, RB.
With a postscript.
Oh, wow. So 3.5 minutes. All right. So keep eating that ravioli.
All right.
Hey, Andy and Naomi. So love you two so much. Huge fan. Can't tell you how much I look forward to listening to you two and your guest, and also hello to guest.
Thank you.
It's already 3 days into the new year. I'm already into predicaments. I am a 42-year-old female.
Hello.
Been dating nothing but trash for quite some time.
No.
Did have a very long 12-year relationship. That no marriage, marriage isn't my ultimate end goal and be all end all kind of thing. But just to give you some background, so I have been in a long term relationship, but it's been a while. Recently, a friend of mine, and he is legitimately probably like one of the three heterosexual males that I can actually withstand. And, he revealed feelings for me, which, of course, I am only used to being the chaser, not the one being chased. So I immediately threw me into a tizzy to find out that he had feelings for me. I absolutely adore him. Like I said, he's one of the few hetero males who I can hang out with and be my truest self with.
Sounds great.
Love our banter. You know, he's heard all of my horrific like dating stories, and I've heard his.
Uh-oh.
Anyways, him liking me, as you can tell, is just really bugging me out. Just because I think I like him too, but I am so scared. Like, just I don't know how to do the leap between being a friend with him to the like potentially dating him, because I have a whole dating persona, which is so different than the friend persona that he knows.
Wow.
And I know
this person is in such a great spot.
Oh
my God, I'm so happy for her.
Me, but that's just how it is.
She is in such a great moment in her life. It's amazing.
How to act around him now that I know that he likes me and that he likes, quote unquote, like, you know, the legit me. So now
he likes the real her.
I don't know what to do. Also, with this all pandemic stuff, you know, I'm thinking about like, this could be it, you know, like this could be, this is probably the healthiest option to date rather than the trash that I have been dating. Anyways,
let's put 20 carts in front of one horse. You know what I mean? Let's just put them all.
Spoon out for me would be so appreciated. And, I love you guys. Okay. Have a very happy and healthy, 2021.
And the postscript.
What a little sweetie. What a sweetie.
I totally forgot to mention the most important bit. I'm not necessarily physically attracted. I'm not physically attracted to this person as I would be with, like, the trash that I've dated before. And so I'm just wondering,
interesting.
Should I even consider this, even though he's so great, but I'm not physically attracted? Can you bridge the gap between the friend to, like, romantic? You know, boo situation, and can the attraction come later, per se? Okay, that
possible.
Is all. Thanks. Bye.
Okay, okay. This is interesting, though, because she said, I like him.
She did, yeah.
I enjoy being with him.
She did, yeah.
And then the postscript was, I'm not attracted to him.
Right. Because so I'll say this. It sounded like in the original voicemail, she really sounded like she was talking from here, from inside in the little heart space. Mm-hmm. And the postscript was way more up in the brain. You know, it was the, wait a minute, I thought about everything I just said. And wait, there's a big other thing. Hang on a second. I don't. And like, I think it's legit. You know, that's a legit thing. And it's not to not be considered. But I would also say that with her insistence on the fact that she's been dating trash, I don't know what that means specifically, but I know that often I have in my own life, and even recently been rediscovering these things in my life. It's like, oh, I am physically, whether it's like, oh my God, this person is attractive, or I am just attracted to the things in my life that hurt me the most. Because I come to it naturally and honestly, you know, because it feels safe and it feels normal. Like you were saying, the discomfort, the chaos feels normal. So like, and it can be very confusing and very subtle. And so I would say that like, it's not even that it's necessarily something that can be built over time, but she might need to get into this, like be willing to be in this relationship to discover that she is physically attracted to him. It's just not in the same way that she is with these other people. You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
And obviously, like, if you do the thing and you're like, yeah, no, I'm not feeling it, then no, then don't. You know, first things first. But, like, I just have realized that in my own life is that, like, we think we're looking for this, like, movie spark, like, looking at each other. And, like, that's fun and good, but it's like, it's really more than that, you know?
Yeah.
Like she literally said, I feel like I can be my authentic self around this person.
Yep.
That is an attraction that we're looking for.
Right.
You know?
Right. That's
truly
the real. That's
that is the real deal.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's also something to be said again, not simply I've been dating trash, but also to describe this guy as, quote, one of three heterosexual men I can stand. Now.
Sure, yeah.
That's the thing, like, when you don't, like, because, like, my first impulse, whenever someone's like, I don't know if I like this person, I'm always like, okay, you don't necessarily have to date them, but you need to look in your heart and soul and wonder why you are attracted to the trash and why yeah. there's so few people you can stand. Because it's like exactly what you're saying, but it's also just like, you know, when you say, I don't know, it's like, and you, because it's just like, I have a dating persona.
Oh, well, yeah.
Let that go. It's also probably why you attract in trash and the relationships 100%. Are not to your liking.
Yeah.
Whatever that persona is not doing it for you.
Are you supposed to and have a persona when you're dating? Because maybe that's why I was not good at it.
I
guess you can't. Yeah. And I mean, it's like protective and it's also like an experience, you know, it's like, it's not like she's done anything wrong. It's that's why yeah. I was saying like this person is in the best place in their life right now. I'm sure she's like so struggling with this thing, but it's like, she is at this moment where she gets to decide, do I want to go towards my authentic self? Because mm-hmm. it might not work out. I don't know. But yeah, I think yeah. the best thing she could do is communicate with this person and say like, I, you know what? I think I'm into you too. Like, I really love our friendship though, is the thing. And so I would love to build on that. Mm-hmm. And that for me is going to require that this goes very slowly, mm-hmm. you know, and we communicate, and it's really hard to do. It's really yeah. scary to communicate authentically because it's so much easier to just like go on a date and sleep with somebody. You know what I mean?
Right. Like, right. Or then just like go on a date and not text them back. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
And like, then that's just leave. Yeah. Actually, but like showing up
tougher.
And
oh, it's tougher to do. Yeah, I mean,
it's tougher.
It's hard to be direct. I think people have trouble yeah. being direct, and like especially
it's scary.
It's negative, right? Like it's like the same way like someone will ask me to do a show that I don't want to do,
negative.
And I don't respond, you know, because I'm like, I don't right. want to. And it's like, imagine that times 100 with someone's yeah. like heart.
Well, and because you think it's negative, that's like your brain is telling you it's a negative thing, and like you just don't know that that's true. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like we don't actually know. Like I don't know that it's true. Mm-hmm. You know, because I've had people ask me to do something. I don't want to do it. And then I don't do anything. And I don't feel good about it. You right. know, I don't feel good about not responding. And then I've responded and I've had people be like,
shitty. And I've had people be like, thanks for letting me know. And both yeah. experiences. So it's like, I don't know what it's going to be. I just know that for me, this is what I need to do. That kind right. of a thing, you know?
Right. Right, right, right. Definitely.
And she just has to figure out what feels right for her, you know?
Right. Yeah.
And I think
right.
there's a way that you can date somebody that is your close friend that you love, that you want to keep in your life and communicate. Like, I just don't, you know, like, because friendship is it not? Are you guys not great friends? You know, like, are you not
great?
Yeah. It is an important part of a romantic lifetime commitment if that's something that you right. want, you know?
Right.
Like, you gotta be friends with that person, you know?
Right, right. Who are we talking to who said it was like, we gotta be best friends or you gotta be hot? Because that way, when you drive me crazy, I still wanna sleep with you. And then when I don't wanna sleep with you, I still wanna hang out with you. And
yeah.
I think it was Sam, maybe? Sam
I don't
Pancake.
Know, but we should make t-shirts.
It was something.
Oh,
was like,
yeah, that makes sense. Oh, I love Sam
like,
so much.
It's gotta be like one of those. And I'm like, yeah. And so it's kind of like, and I definitely feel like what I value the most or what I love the most is like us. Our friendship and how I can be honest with you and how I can be like, I ate too much and it hurt. Like, you know, that's valuable to me. That's a beautiful thing. Cause I definitely know that before you and I met, I would never be like that. I was actually just thinking, it came into my head randomly. When I got to college, I remember I was very afraid. Cause you know, you go into the dining hall, you know, everyone like would eat as like a dorm. I was afraid to eat in front of guys because all through high school and like middle school and shit, I would like bird eat if boys were around.
Really?
Yeah, because I saw like Dalton, you know, Dalton was like all skinny girls who didn't really eat anyway.
Yeah, that's totally
a
thing.
Ready, chunky. And then I got to college and was like, how will I eat? The boys are everywhere. And then obviously, you know, I got over it.
And they're
but
just jamming chicken nuggets in their mouth.
a chickpea.
Lettuce leaf. And then I was like, who are we kidding? But stuff like that, like just the walls and idiocy we keep up and how I was like, that was like literally a way I lived. And it was like, what?
Yeah, dude.
It's like yeah. so fucked up. It's like, no.
Prisons
man.
Of our own making, you know?
Like, exactly.
Holy shit.
and abolish prisons.
Exactly.
Abolish
yes.
prisons.
Literally.
Mental,
all of them,
all
man.
Of them.
All
mental
of them.
And actual ones.
Exactly.
Starting with the ones in your brain, you know?
The one thing I will say, though, when she goes, you know, I've just been thinking in the pandemic, like, maybe this is the one. It's like, hold up, hold up, hold up.
Yeah, don't, yeah.
Look, I know the pandemic's got us all twisted, okay? We're all like, could these be our final days? What was my legacy? I get it. But don't put that pressure on this relationship.
Yeah. Don't put that on yourself. Don't put that on him. Because then, like, anything he does that you're like, oh, I don't like this, you're like, well, I can't marry this guy.
Right. Like, I can't deal with this forever.
Yeah, you're not, like, back to kind of what I was saying about in my relationship. It's like, there is this third thing, and you have to build it. You know, it's not immediately there, and that's why like the dating the trash. It's like, yeah, you're not interested in this. Like, it's disposable. It is disposable. You know,
yeah,
like,
true trash. Yeah,
true. And that's okay. You know what I mean? That's okay. But yeah, it sounds like she's doesn't want to do that anymore, and she's being presented with an opportunity to do just that. You know?
Yeah.
Everything completely differently.
Yeah, it's so true.
By the way, I just want to point out that my version of like a bro is a guy slamming brews and shoving chicken nuggets in his mouth for parents.
Yeah,
that
was and very playing good. Beach volleyball.
Beach volleyball. It's
like, set me up for the spike, bro.
He lives in 1988. That's
exactly. I was like, this is not even today's world.
It's not at all.
It's like, what's that jet movie? Top Gun.
Oh my God. I can't believe you called it a jet movie.
Jesus, Andrew.
And of course, by jet, I meant the Black Magazine jet.
Jet Magazine. Oh my God.
Oh my God. That's hilarious.
That was real.
What
that,
is
like,
that
came
movie
from your
about
heart.
Ebony Magazine?
Oh my God. RB.
Oh boy. Yeah.
RB, thank you so much.
Oh my God, you guys, this was such a great time. I shout out to all those sweeties on the voicemails, because like that was the ultimate invulnerability to put it all out there and ask people for help. So anything I said was in jest. Like I respect.
No, of course, we love.
Love you for calling in, and I hope anything I helped a little bit, or anything I said helped a little bit. But man, what a pleasure it is to see you guys. Thank you so much for having me on. I was so excited into it, you know.
Oh my God, I'm
literally
so excited too.
Anytime.
Great. Anytime. I will come back anytime. I will take you up on that. Be careful.
No, it's wonderful, and I cannot wait to listen to your new album. You guys, I already talked about it in the beginning, so
okay, thank you.
You know what I'm talking
that.
About, but I cannot wait. I live and I love.
Thanks. It's
you're an angel.
Thank you. Same, Naomi. I miss you guys so much.
You're the best. I'm
you
glad
know,
you're
I was
safe.
Just thinking about when we ran into you in San Francisco, and you guys were like, "We hate Los Angeles to like the salt and with scotch and with salt or whatever that
I know, scotch
and soda
and,
store, or whatever."
Yeah, scotch. It was a very fancy store that we just happened to go into, and of course, we see RB and her GF. And your GF had on a cool pair of pants, I feel like was trying on a cool pair of pants.
Yeah, she did, yeah.
And it inspired me to try on a cool pair of pants.
Yeah, you did.
I did.
And you
and
got
I
them, right?
I bought
yeah,
them.
Yeah, you did. Hell yeah.
And I was like, I need to wear these somewhere. Like, I need to go somewhere in these cool pants. So that'll be 2021, going somewhere.
Yes,
cool
2021
pants.
Cool pants. That's the year of cool pants. Oh, man. I love you guys.
You're the best.
Thank you for having me on.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.